We have so much to celebrate this morning, but what I really want to point us to is the eternal aspect of what we're celebrating, what we're looking forward to, what we set our eyes upon during our days, and what colors the way we live. We've been given the chance to have an eternal relationship with our Creator through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news that God came as a man amongst us. He came to be one of us. Lived this perfect, sinless life, demonstrating what it looks like to be in absolute union with His Father. And then He goes to the cross for us to pay the debt that we could never pay. That sacrifice, that incredible showing of love and grace to us, is only matched by what He does on the third day, which is rise from the dead, proving that He has power over sin and death, and bidding us to come follow Him to that place of eternal life. The glories, the riches that we have in a relationship with Christ, that's what we're celebrating today. And of all relationships that there are, this is the only one that is unchangeable. Every other relationship that you will enter into in this life is subject to change, disappointment, separation. If you've been around a little while, you've gone through some relationships that haven't gone the way you've wanted them to. Hopefully, you have some relationships that fulfill your heart's desires to be related to other human beings. But there's only one relationship that is permanent and unchanging once it begins. Jim Elliot, who was an American missionary in South America, was martyred in 1956, and he's famous for saying, "No one is a fool for giving up what cannot be kept to gain what cannot be lost." Think about that for a second. Each and every one of us have this life, but we can't keep it. Again, if you've been around a little while, you know the ravages of death are coming. Even if you're young, you maybe have lost friends. We can't keep this life. No way, no how. Nobody ever has. No human being has ever held on to this life. So maybe if you have the opportunity to trade what you cannot keep for what you cannot lose, seems like a pretty good deal to me. And that's what we're going to look at today in the scriptures. And I hope that one of two things happens for you today as you hear the word of God and the Spirit works in your life. One, I hope that you'd be encouraged by the scripture and recognize that what you have in Christ cannot be lost, no matter what anybody ever will tell you. And the other thing is I pray that you give up what you cannot keep today and surrender the life that you cannot keep to gain one that you cannot lose. Today is the day of salvation. If you've not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, there is no better day than to do it on Easter Sunday. Pray with me. Father, we ask that you work by your word, by your Spirit. God, get me out of the way. Speak directly to hearts this morning. Bring us to that place where we know you fully and we have assurance of that relationship, Lord. And let us glorify you with our joy and our outpouring of wonder and awe, Lord, that you'd be lifted up in this place today. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to be looking at the end of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, chapter 8, 31 through 38. I'm going to be using the New Living Translation. So verse 31 says, "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these?" That seems like a kind of a rough place to start. What am I talking about? What wonderful things are we talking about? The email that went out to the congregation said, read Romans 8 to kind of prepare for this. And what I want to show you real quickly is all the things that Paul has listed in chapter 8 prior to verse 31 that are these wonderful things. So the first five of them are, we are no longer condemned by sin if we belong to Christ. Hallelujah. Surrendered to Christ, we're freed from the power of sin and death. He makes that very clear. God ended sin's. Oh, what happened? It's coming back. There we go. God ended sin's control over us by sacrificing His Son. He gave up His Son for us. And when we let God's Spirit control our minds, we have life and peace. And if Christ lives in us, our bodies can die, and we will live eternally by God's Spirit. That's some good stuff, but I got five more for you. If we're led by the Spirit of God, we're children of God, adopted sons and daughters. And as God's adopted children, we are heirs with Christ in glory and suffering. Don't forget that part. We get all these things, but we also go along with the life of Christ, and there's going to be trouble. And we've been indwelt with God's Spirit as a foretaste of eternity, giving us hope, a living hope, as we sang about. And God's Spirit leads us in prayer into harmony with His will. What a wonderful thing. We have the opportunity to make God's will come true in our life by His Spirit. And we've been called by Christ, and therefore we have right standing with God. These are but 10 of the promises that the gospel holds for each and every one who would surrender their life to Christ. Good news, eh? So we continue on at the end of Romans. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, won't He also give us everything else? I listed a bunch of stuff. That's not all of it, but everything else is available to us. So the question is, are you convinced that God is for you? Some of us have gone through some things in our lives and been through upbringings where we're just not sure about where God sits. As we look at our life, it's like, how can God be for me when I've had to go through these various things? But I want to tell you today, He is for you. And if you open your heart up to Him, He will show you exactly how that is. And the proof is in the pudding, right? Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He give us all things? The sacrifice of His Son. What could be more personal? What could be more intense? As a parent, you can understand that. But just as a human being, to give up what is so dear to you is amazing. It's almost incomprehensible. What more could be offered? And what could pay the price of our sin and rebellion other than such a sacrifice? It's the ultimate act of love. And if you remember, Abraham kind of prefigured this act when he took Isaac up on the mountain and was ready to sacrifice his own son. God stops him and provides the lamb. But that heart that Abraham would give up his own son is an emulation of God's heart for us, that He gave up His Son without having to, really. I mean, nobody made Him. He did it willingly. Christ went to the cross willingly to die for you and me. Verse 33. Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for His own? No one. For God Himself has given us right standing with Himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And He's sitting at the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. One of the great truths about Easter is Jesus is alive and He's in heaven praying for you. Think about that. The God of all creation sits and intercedes on your behalf after having died for you. So who can condemn us? Who dares accuse us? Well, the truth of the matter is the devil is there to accuse us. He will accuse you. He's the accuser of the brethren. Don't doubt it. Understand where it's coming from when you have those thoughts. He will continue to dare to accuse you, whether you've come to Christ or not. It's part of the deal. But our position with God is not something that we create, and therefore it's not something that is changeable by what goes on. Only God can do it, and He's in charge of whether it's changed or not. And through that sacrificial death, through that victorious resurrection, through that ongoing ministry of prayer in heaven, we are joined in union with our Savior. Hallelujah. And we're beyond reach of any condemnation or accusation regarding sin. The devil can say all he wants. There's nothing he can do about it. He can confuse you. He can disturb you. But he cannot change what God has done if you're a child of God. That's something I want you to recognize today and hold on to with both hands. Verse 35. But Paul kind of goes on, he says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? That, of course, is a rhetorical question. Can anything separate us? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? For as the scriptures say, for your sake we are being killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. We go through some stuff in this life, ladies and gentlemen. It's a tough world. It's a sin-infected world. We are going to have all those things. Trouble, calamity, persecution, threat of death. And we're going to feel like God's not with us. We may feel separated from God. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we do not live on our feelings. We live on the truth of the Word of God. Our lot in sharing everything with Christ in eternity also means we go through some of the things he went through here. The sufferings, the persecution, the loneliness. But our present circumstances do not dictate our eternal destiny. And child of God, I want you to hear that today. Whatever kind of thing you're going through or are going to go through, it doesn't change your standing with God when you've come in to a surrendered relationship with him. And again, it might feel like it. And I've been there. I've felt at times lonely and almost separated from God. Christ on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? He lives that out just as we do. But he knew the truth of Scripture, and we too can know the truth of Scripture. That when we're his, nothing can ever separate us from his love. Verse 37. No, in all these things, name it, whatever it might be, despite all that, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. He showed us the extent of that love on the cross. And that victory that he won when he rose from the dead, we share in. And no matter what it seems like on a day-to-day basis, that is eternal, unchanging, irrevocable. The truth is, none of those things do anything no matter how we feel about them. They don't stop the victory. But that's the challenge. The challenge is to say, no, that's not the truth how I feel today. The truth is what God's Word says. The truth is what God's Spirit in me tells me. And everything, the world, our flesh, and the devil, everything that can throw on us, it changes nothing. Overwhelming victory. Eternal life with the eternal God. Think about that. And it's this question I have in my head I keep coming back to is what really matters? Eternal things or temporal things? The things that we can have in this world, is there any way to put those on a scale and have them tip it versus eternal life? So what are you going to live for? Why would we live for anything other than eternal things? Well, because we're humans, because we're fleshly creatures who have sin embedded in them. We're going to make bad decisions, but we can go the other way every single time, and we can say, no, I'm going to repent of that. I'm going to live for Christ, and I'm going to let eternity matter in my life day by day by day. We grow in that. That's the process of sanctification. As we walk with Christ, we become more heavenly minded, less worldly concerned. The things in this world start to pale and become less important. I remember as a young Christian, there were things I wanted that I wanted to accumulate. And over the last 25 years, those things don't matter now. You know, God kind of strips away their value as his value rises. That overwhelming victory is what I live for today. So the end here, verse 38. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Paul's convinced. How'd he become convinced? He walked with Christ. He gave his life over to Christ. He surrendered everything to Christ, and it convinced him that nothing could ever separate him from that love. Whether you're living things out and they're pulling you from God, whether death around you, loved ones, neither of those things can separate you from God's love. No non-human being, whether it be an angel or a devil, can change your eternal destiny. And whatever you are afraid of and whatever you're facing, it again is not more powerful than the love of Christ. No, not even the powers of hell are more powerful than the love of Christ. Hell has no power over your surrendered relationship with Christ. And if you belong to God, Satan is done having any claim to you. So verse 39, here's the kicker. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in our Lord Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel is eternal. It doesn't change. And once you've surrendered to it, it's yours forever. You can't do anything to undo that. I'm talking about some really good news, right? But it's been argued in cases, and I've heard people try to make the argument, well, you know, you can lose your salvation. And I'd say, well, how do you know? What causes you to lose your salvation? Here's all these things that say you can't lose your salvation. I've had people argue with me, well, you can cause yourself to lose your salvation. And I say, huh, so I'm not included in all creation? It says nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. The scripture speaks clearly on this point. Once you're his forever. And that means today, tomorrow, and forever. We go back to the ultimate act of love that created this situation, the sacrifice on the cross, the empty tomb. That's what makes us believe this is true. That's what makes us sure of our salvation and our place with God. There's an old song that I really like, and the lyrics are really quite amazing, the way they echo these sort of thoughts. It says, I'd gladly lose me to find you. I'd gladly give up all I've got. To catch you, I'm going to run and never stop. I'd pay any price just to win you. Surrender my good life for bad. To find you, I'm going to drown an unsung man. I'd call that a bargain. The best I ever had. That's the deal that we're offered in Christ. It's the best bargain you'll ever find. You give up what you cannot keep to gain what you cannot lose. And so that's the question this morning. What matters most? The 70, 80 odd years you might have here and the pleasures that you can find in you running your life? Or eternity, letting Christ run your life as you surrender it to him. In summary, a few things to just kind of nail this down for you. All the wonderful things Christ did by dying in our place and rising from the dead give us ample reason to surrender our life to his lordship. If there's not enough proof for you just in this text, I don't know what to tell you. I think there's a lot to be seen right here. The next thing I'd tell you is that all who surrender their life to Christ are free of accusation and condemnation because of Christ's sacrificial death, bodily resurrection, and heavenly intercession. You don't have to live under the condemnation of sin another moment in your life. Doesn't mean that the consequences of your sin won't come around to get you. Our sin will catch us out, find us out, but we're not condemned by it anymore. Third, in the troubles of this life, a believer may feel apart from God's love, but the truth of Scripture is that none of that affects our position with God, no matter how we feel. Again, Christian, I want to encourage you, do not live on your feelings. Your heart's a liar. The truth is found in the Word of God. And next, those who surrender their life to Christ have so many wonderful things, and they're all permanent and irrevocable. Well, I almost stumbled on that one. This is known as eternal security. Have you ever heard that term before? Some people bandy that about, you know, you're not eternally secure until you've eternally surrendered. But once you've eternally surrendered, you are eternally secure. Look what Jesus says in John 10, 28 through 30. He says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Jesus says it, I believe it, and I live it. And I hope you do as well. Some application points to help you kind of drive this home if you can. First off, remember to count your blessings in Christ. This morning, we have so much to count. I started this morning, I'm going to be doing it all day. So much to think about that we have in Christ. And search God's word for all the things that you have as his bought and paid for possession. What you get, this bargain I'm talking about, what you get is unbelievable, unfathomable. Search God's word and learn it and know it. Number two, don't let the devil accuse or condemn you. If you have surrendered your life to Christ's lordship, don't let him tell you anything other than the fact that you're belonging to Christ. If you have not, I want to encourage you, today's the day. You'll never have to live under the accusation or condemnation of sin again. Number three, apply the promises of God's word to your situation when you face adversity. There's an old thing, store up God's word in your heart, right? The reason we study the scripture, the reason we learn it is so that we have it available to us when we need it. When you come to those places where you face the adversity that we're talking about here, and you can say, oh yeah, but I remember through all things, Christ strengthens me. And you can remember that John verse, that no matter what happens, no matter how bad I've been, that sin can't separate me from God. Think about applying the promises of the Word of God to your struggles. This is how we overcome. And last but not least, trust Christ to give you assurance of your salvation by his indwelling Spirit. If you don't have that security, I invite you to surrender your life to Christ today. Today's the day. So we're now going to move into a time of communion. And we're going to have a little background music, which is the song, Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. What the Spirit of God today can do are two key things. One, he can assure us of our eternal place with God. Or two, he can convict us that we need to get right with God. And so as you come this morning and take the bread and the cup, be reminded of what's been bought for you, what's been paid for you, and how you are now his possession. Take a moment, spend a little time with God, and when you're ready, come up the center, go around the ends. We don't wait and take it all together, just take it as you will with family members and such. But all those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ for eternity are welcome at this table. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, come and celebrate communion this morning with all of us. To the praise and glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.